Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Parents, your kids were just learning about the fruit that comes when they are connected to Jesus. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15 that he was the vine, they were the branches, right? And if they remained connected to him, they would bear much fruit, much fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, Paul talks about this fruit in the previous chapter of Galatians. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Kids, do you remember what that fruit is? Love? Patience? Yes, love, joy. I think you're saying them all just a little different order, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I heard that one. Goodness, gentleness. Self-control, right? And I'm forgetting one. Faithfulness, right? If we are connected to Jesus, there is a seed that grows inside each and every one of us that bears fruit. But in the passage that we're going to read today, Paul is going to warn us that there are other seeds that get planted sometimes. Galatians 6:7 says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." In other words, hey, don't kid yourself, right? What you plant is what you will harvest. We see this in nature. It's a part of the natural law. God explains this law in Genesis 1, verse 11. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. What this is saying is that there are these seeds that bear plants and trees according to their kinds. Kids, will you help me out with something? If you plant an apple seed, what kind of tree will I get? Right, it is pretty obvious, right? There is no chance that if I were to plant an apple seed, I would get a pear tree, right? No way. We all understand this truth. What we plant, we harvest. So my first point, if you're taking notes, is the seed you plant matters. We, especially as parents, need to think about the seeds that we are planting in our own lives, for one. But we also need to be careful about the seeds that are being planted in our kids' lives, right? Our kids go to school. Our kids can later on go to colleges. And sometimes they hear crazy things that are being taught. Social media influencers are all teaching our kids. They're being told a seed is being planted that says men can get pregnant, right? Our kids are being taught literally that 2 + 2 does not always equal 4. I saw this article that says if you read to your kids, you are unfairly giving them an advantage in life. These are some of the seeds being planted in our society today, in your kids' lives today, right? You pair that with shows that always portray parents as being dumb, especially dads. We're always the weird ones. We're always clueless. And we wonder why when we talk to our kids and have discussions with them that they end up in so many arguments. What kind of seed is being planted in your kid's life today? The seed that we allow to be planted matters. The seed that you allow to be planted in your kid's life matters, right? Young ladies, if you plant the seed known as Taylor Swift, don't be surprised if your relationship ends in heartbreak, right? Paul says, don't kid yourselves. The seed matters. You harvest what you plant. What if the seed that you plant is being in God's word regularly? What if that's the seed that's being planted? What if you regularly looked at the promises of God and they were written on your heart deep down? What would you harvest from planting that day after day? Christians are great at pretending we're planting the right seeds. We probably even lie to ourselves. I'm planting good seeds. But then when that weed comes up, It's obvious that we're not. And we tend to act surprised, right? How did this get here? Where did this come from? Well, let me tell you, you planted it, right? Pure and simple. Listen, God cannot be mocked. That's what the scriptures tell us. If you don't want lima beans, don't plant lima beans, right? We always harvest what we plant. Get this too. We like to blame others for what we harvest. You ever do that? For what comes into our lives? But this passage says a man reaps what he sows. It's true that other people can bring storms into our lives. Other people can sow seed into our lives. But we always have the choice to remove that or not, or let it go, right? We have the choice of what stays planted. We have the choice of what we allow to affect our harvest. Some of us really need to hear this. Quit blaming somebody else for what's going on in your life, right? No matter what storm comes your way, by the grace of God, you can still have peace and joy. Amen. No matter what storm comes your way, it's still possible to harvest a fruit of peace and joy. Didn't we see that with the disciples? They would be beaten. They'd be thrown in jail. And the next thing you know, what are they doing? Singing praises to God. Praising God for what they were going through, right? Do you have Romans 8:28 planted deep down? And we know that in all things, you mean storms and problems? Yeah, God works for the good of those who love him, right? Who have been called according to his purposes. No matter what is coming into your life, God can turn that around and use that for your good. That verse is a seed that needs to be planted in your life. Back to Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Point number two, look at those first two words in the eighth verse. Whoever sows. In other words, the seed you plant matters, right? But you actually have to plant it. You actually have to plant that seed. We can't just be people that read the Bible and then think that that will magically bring us peace, that will magically just bring us joy. No, we have to actually plant that seed, put it into practice in order to harvest it. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." The storms came, right? And they had no effect. Why? Because of the foundation. Because of what was planted deep down. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, maybe we could say whoever doesn't put them in the ground, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's being put into your foundation? It's not about just reading God's word. That's important. But it's about building your life upon God's word. In other words, doing what the word tells you. That seed has to be put in the ground. I like watermelon. Do you guys like watermelon? Long time ago, I bought some watermelon seeds. I was going to plant them. But then I found out you had to break the ground up. You had to plant them. You had to water them. You had to weed them. You had to weed them some more. You had to water them some more. You had to wait a long time. And then the watermelon might come up. So you know what I did? I didn't plant them. Guess what happened? I never got any watermelons. I wanted watermelons. Right? But I never planted the seed. There's a big difference between knowing God's word and putting God's word into practice, into your soil, and building upon it. We know we should forgive. We all know we shouldn't lie. We all know that we should love each other, that we should serve, that we should give, but it's a lot easier not to do those things. A lot of us know what the Bible says. Do me a favor. Quit kidding yourself. Right? Don't get frustrated at God when you aren't getting the harvest that you want and it's due to you not actually planting the seed. Right? God cannot be mocked. Truth number three, there's something about sowing and reaping that can be really scary or really awesome. You see, we always harvest more than we plant. Kids, help me out. If you or I plant an apple seed, what do you get?
Apple tree.
Apple tree, right? Not just an apple. We get a tree from that one apple seed. How many apples come on that apple tree?
A ton.
A whole bunch. A bushel, a bunch, right? 50 maybe one year? How many years is that tree going to produce fruit? 50 years? 50 apples, 50 years, 2,500 apples from one apple seed. We always harvest more than we plant, right? I hope that is scary for you because we tend to excuse things, don't we? We justify doing things that we know we shouldn't. It's just one time. It's just something small. It won't affect something else. All lies because we always harvest more than we plant. Doesn't that little lie often turn into a bunch of lies? Doesn't that bunch of lies have the ability to destroy a relationship? Just one conversation with that coworker, right? Before you know it, a marriage is ending. Oh, this is no big deal. No, my friends, don't kid yourself. You harvest what you plant in abundance, right? That's scary. But let's also flip it around. What would happen if we started spending time in God's word and we aligned ourselves to it every day, even with the small stuff? I love telling you the story of what my mom did, right? When I was a teenager, she began to read the Bible to me in the morning while I was eating breakfast and at night when I ate dinner. Every day, she planted those seeds in my life. Did I appreciate it? No. Every Sunday, she made me go to church. Did I want to go to church? No. But she made me go. And those seeds had a huge impact on my life today, right? I'm always shocked when I open up my credit card bill and see how all those little purchases somehow added up to that big bill, right? What if we leverage that same principle to our relationship with God and to doing what God calls us to do? What will come from that harvest in our life, right? What if we determined to seek the Lord? What if every day we prayed, instead of making our prayer about asking God for things, we ask God, what do you want from me? What would you have me do? And what if every day, whatever he told us to do, we actually did? What if we actually sought him? What if we actually aligned our will to his? Amazing fruit comes when we do that. Amazing fruit can come when we do that, right? You want to know if God is real? Do you want to know if God is real? The Bible tells us an amazing truth. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you calling out for him? If you're not, are you going to find him? Seek him with all your heart, right? Psalm 14:2, listen to this. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see. Can you picture this? To see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. You want to know if he's real? Seek him. And he will reveal himself to you. That's your job. That's all you have to do, right? Seek him. Really seek him. Don't say you're seeking him. Like I said, I was going to plant those watermelon seeds, right? Make it real. Read his word. Read the Gospel of John. Go to the book of Acts. Ask him, Lord, if you're real, like these people say you are, would you just reveal yourself to me? I want to know for certain. And I guarantee he will reveal this to you. I pray that this is a season for all of us where we're seeking him. Don't complain. Don't be frustrated if you don't plant the seed of seeking him and you harvest a crop of not finding him. Don't complain about that, right? Can I say that again? Don't complain if you don't plant the seed of seeking him and you don't hear from him. We reap what we sow. Don't kid yourself. God cannot be mocked. Sow the seed that you want to harvest. Some of you hear this, and it really frustrates you because you've been planting the right seeds for a long time, but you have not seen the harvest that should come from that. Verse 9 is for you. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Right now, you feel worn out, you feel weary, right? You feel like you've been putting in the time, the effort, but nothing is coming up. You aren't seeing the fruit that should be coming. You feel like saying, what is the point, God? Right? You feel like quitting? Don't stop planting. Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing what God has called you to do. Just keep doing it. No matter what those other people say, right? No matter what thoughts come into your mind, because if you keep doing it at just the right time, at just the proper time, you are going to reap a harvest. Not an apple, right? An apple tree. That's not just going to bless you, but bless future generations. That is, if you don't quit. If you don't stop planting. Chinese bamboo takes 5 years to come up. That means you plant it 1 year, you water it, you take care of the ground, you wait a year, you keep taking care of the ground, you keep watering it, right? That next year, nothing. You keep doing that for another year, nothing. You keep doing that for another year, nothing, right? And then finally, in that fifth year, it comes up. What's happening is, beneath the surface, all those roots are growing together. They're forming this vast network, just getting ready for the day that it comes out of the ground. And when it comes out of the ground, it comes out of the ground, right? 3 feet in one day. That's what it can grow. 80 feet in 6 weeks. Some of you guys are in year 3. Some of you are in year 4. And your neighbors are coming up and they're like, Did you seriously plant this? Because I don't see nothing, right? That's what you're thinking. Did I do something wrong? Did I plant it upside down, the seed, right? Oh, just hold on. At just the right time, in God's perfect timing, you'll reap a harvest. Amen? Keep praying. Prayer is what prepares the ground. How long have you been praying for that person to come to know the Lord? How long have you been praying for that thing in God's will? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to keep praying? Keep trusting him. Paul would tell you, don't give up, right? Can I encourage you with that? Don't give up. Keep trusting him. Trust that there's something going on beneath that ground. Trust that those roots are growing together, and at just the right time, it's going to pop up. It's going to come, and when it comes, man, it's going to explode, right? What seeds are you planting? What little things are you excusing? What things are you allowing to be planted in your kids' lives, right? Can I give you a few seeds to plant? Plant the seed of gratitude. whatever is in your life. Go to your spouse regularly. Embrace them. Look them in the eye. And tell them what you're grateful for with them. Right? Man, wives, what if you went up to your husband, you grabbed him, right? And you looked at him and you said, you know what? I am just really grateful that you go to work every day to this job that you really don't care for. Put in the time. I'm just really appreciative for it. Man, what if you did the same thing with your wives, right? Maybe she's the glue that holds the family together. And you just tell her, man, I see everything that you're doing. I know you got to pick out a different dinner every single night. And I know how that drives you crazy, but I am really appreciative that you do that, that you keep us all on track, right? That you keep things going. Whoever it is, maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's your kids, right? Plant the seed of gratitude. What would that do? What if you did that? What if you embraced your spouse and touched them and looked them in the eyes every week and did that? What would be the harvest from that? What would be the harvest that came in a year from that? Right? We plant the seed of giving our spouses the cold shoulder, of not making eye contact with them. What if we started planting something else, though? Right? Plant the seed of forgiveness. This might sound really hard to believe. My kids probably are going to be here shocked, but what if you screw up as a dad? What if you screw up regularly as a dad? Can you plant the seed of asking for forgiveness? Can you plant the seed of just going up to your kid, you know what, I blew it. I acted very poorly, but I did this because you acted poorly. No. What if you just asked for forgiveness? I acted poorly. I shouldn't have done that. Will you just forgive me? And what if you just embraced your kid, right? What harvest would come from that? What harvest would come from if you were to read these kids every day the Word of God? What if you grabbed a children's Bible, just read them a passage about whoever, David and Goliath, the promises of God? What if you did that with your teen? What if you sent that to your kids that have moved out, right? What if you encouraged them? What if you told those kids that moved out, right, and are going to college, man, I'm just super proud of you. Plant some seeds. Plant some amazing seeds, right? And don't you dare plant the bad ones. Repent of those things. Get those things out of here. Don't you dare lie to yourself and just say it's a small thing. It's just going to affect me. No, it won't. It's going to affect generations. The stuff you plant will be here long after you're gone and affecting people. Watch what you plant. Amen? Stand with me. Will you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now? Will you ask the Holy Spirit to convict you of maybe some things that you're planning that you shouldn't be? Maybe some things that you're looking at that you shouldn't be? Maybe some things that you're doing that you shouldn't be? And would you right now determine, I'm not going to plant that anymore. By the grace of God, by the power of God, I'm going to ask him to take those things away from me, right? And then would you ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to plant in my relationships? What does my wife need? What does my husband need? What do my kids need to hear? What things need to be planted, right? And would you just follow through with whatever God leads you to do that? Think about those things. Pray about those things while I'm praying. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, again, we thank you for this amazing time. These amazing kids. Man, they're bold. They're fearless. I would be so scared to get up on the stage, but they ran up here, Lord. Father, I pray that you would continue that you would use them mightily, that you would call them, Lord. Father, I pray for the rest of us. I pray that you would right now speak to us about things that we need to let go of. We need to lay down. We need to quit planning. Things that we need to pull up out of the ground and proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ, you are no longer welcome here. You will no longer be a part of my life. And Father, I pray that you'd show us things to plant. We all know the importance of regularly doing things for you. But Father, I pray that you would just speak to us and call us to those things, and that we'd be faithful to respond to you and say yes. Father, I pray that if there's somebody in here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would harvest the seed of seeking you, that they would cry out to you, Lord, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. Father, I pray that they would get in the Word, they'd read the Bible, and ask you to speak through that. Lord, put a brother or sister in their path, Lord. And Father, I pray that they would come to the place where they would realize that they are a sinner, that they are not a good person, that there is nothing good in them, and that the only hope that they have is a Savior who came and died in their place. And I pray that they would proclaim you as their Lord and Savior, and that they'd follow you all the rest of the days of their lives, Lord. And I pray a harvest would come for 1,000 generations, Lord, from that. Father, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray.